Okay, let's pray. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, grant us. And what we are not, make us. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, we're going to start with a little wake-up question. How many here have had a heart transplant? Two, three. How many are over there? Okay, not too many. Let me ask the question this way. How many have been regenerated, born again, by the grace of God, and given a new heart?
There you go. Thank you.
Okay, some of those, a couple of guys caught that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to tell a story that I was reminded of when I was watching Vody Bakum, and he brought to mind one of my favorite characters, Iago Montoya. Anybody know who that is? From The Princess Bride? Okay, where the little Corsican guy kept saying how much of a genius he was. He kept using this word, inconceivable, every time the Dread Pirate Roberts started to catch up with me and say, inconceivable. And the other one at the top of the mountain says, you keep saying that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. So what I'm going to speak in is beginning on the Sermon on the Mount, which is Beatitudes. Okay, I've done this many years ago, but as they say in the toothpaste commercials, this is the new improved version. Okay? And I'm going to have to read quite a bit because my memory isn't as good as it used to was. I want to start by saying I grew up as a Roman Catholic. And the Lord blessed me with the capability of reading pretty well at an early age. So I could read the catechisms and I passed all the tests. So the priest let me go ahead and get my first one communion at age 6. And before you could go to confession, you had to have your first Holy Communion. Well, by that time, I turned 7. And so I went to first Holy Communion, and the mantra goes like this. And this is what you're taught. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was last week, 10 years, and, you know, whatever. I have offended God in the following ways. And then you would name them and give a number. Okay? Well, there are some sins. I knew the Ten Commandments, but there was something that just didn't fit. So I said, I've committed adultery 11 times. The father said, how old are you? I said, 7. He said, move on. But what I wanted to mention there is that we're blessed because, again, we're going to be looking at the Beatitudes. In that particular case, bless me, Father, that was for absolution. Like the priest could give you absolution. He did that by giving penance. You could say 5 Hail Marys, 10 Our Fathers, so many rosaries, whatever. And then you would be absolved. A couple of minutes, anyway. You know. And looking back, I now know that that wasn't scriptural. Okay. That's what we did. What about hymns and songs? Bless the Lord, O my soul. All lives within me. What do you think that bless means? Most of you know, as I tell you, it means to speak well of. Okay? It's the word in the Greek that we get eulogy from. We speak well of people, even though maybe you don't want to. Okay? But our job is to speak well of people. So that's a blessing. We say blessed assurance. What did that word mean? Favor, to be favored by God for his assurance. And the last one I'm going to talk about, at least in this thing, is count your blessings, name them one by one. So what do most people think about when they think about counting their blessings? Give me some examples.
Good health.
Good health.
Family.
Family. Okay. and on and on. Circumstantial blessings, right? That's not what he's talking about in the Beatitudes. All right. If you want to, or if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to read, starting with verse 1 and then 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And he was set as disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them. I'm going to read what this one commentator said. We start with Jesus' authority. As Moses went up the mountain, when God revealed the law to him. Christ is a new and greater Moses, the supreme prophet. Jesus' message holds together in himself as king of the kingdom. If you've been a Christian for a while, you've come to realize that Christ's standards of obedience are impossible apart from his grace. And his laws press his people to seek more grace from God. So what we know there is Moses received the law on the mountain. Jesus now goes up the mountain as the king, and he spells it out, Sermon on the Mount. It's a description of the Christian life. For example, he would talk about if you have hatred in your heart for somebody else, that's murder. Or if you lust in your thoughts, you've actually committed adultery. So basically what he was doing is spreading out and other things, blessings and curses. These verses are chapters 5, 6, and 7. We also have the Lord's Prayer in here. So that was the king giving us the explanation of what the Christian life looked like. The attitudes is how the Christian life starts. Okay? The word beatitudes actually comes from blessings. I've heard people say, yeah, it's a beatitude. And that's not true. Okay. It's a colloquialism. Beatitudes from the Latin is supreme blessings. And I know it's true because I got it from Wikipedia. In this case, blessed is defined as rich in the benefits of God's grace, regardless of your present outward condition. It can be translated happy, but probably closer to inner satisfaction because of the sufficiency of Christ. The word comes in adjectives, comes in prepositions, nouns, but here it's an adjective. And the word is makarios. And I kind of like that word. And give you an example of what that means is, back in Christ's day, on the island of Crete, they imported nothing. They were able to sustain whatever they needed from the island themselves. It was sufficient, and they were satisfied. And they call the island the Carriers. And give you an idea of what we're doing here. So let's go to verse 3. Blessed, the Carriers, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. First of all, note that verses 3 and 10 are present. When this goes on, you're in. You are in the kingdom of heaven. And what the word is, there's two Greek words for poor. One means to have very little. The other means abject poverty. Here it means to see your complete spiritual bankruptcy. You have absolutely nothing to offer God. And he makes that known to you through the Spirit. John talks about the Spirit coming, convicting of judgment, righteousness, and sin. In Luke 18:9-14, you see the parable of the two guys in the temple. One guy boasting about what he's like, and the other guy's on his knee saying, Lord, have mercy on me, sinner. Little example. Revelation 3:17, it says, you think you are rich, but you are poor, naked, and blind. This is an example of verse 3. For blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Why are they mourning? Verse 1. Spirit has come convicted you of your sin, and you know of your spiritual bankruptcy, and you mourn for that. You're blessed. And interesting.
Hey, what's up? Always sees your reflection.
That's a blessing. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7:10 talks about godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow. Write these down and then look them up. I'm not going to turn the pages. Isaiah 61:1-3 talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The last sentence in there is to comfort all that mourn. So we're moving through a progression. If you will notice on here, by the way, that every one of these is progressive. You don't get to two of them. You hit one. You don't get to three until you get two. The Lord is teaching us progressively about the new birth. Number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is not weakness or passivity, but it extends to humility, gentleness, and patience in doing good. As we wait on the Lord for vindication and blessing. Revelation 21:4 talks about the new heavens and the new earth. This is what I'm struggling with. I don't even consider a political situation, I consider a biblical situation that's going on in our country today. Mm-hmm. I struggle with being meek and trusting the Lord in handling the situation rather than being upset and, you know, talking about people and saying bad things. Etc. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be trusting the Lord in meekness. Number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's the other word to take a look at in there, shall be filled. This is what's going on as God is working us through this. This shall happen. This is a promise. This is a strong desire to live in a manner pleasing to the Father. 1 John 3:20, be like Jesus. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Anybody have Micah 6:8 as their favorite passage? You know what this good old man, what God requires of him? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We also have James 2:13, which talks about mercy and just judgment. If you want to know that. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is not a ceremonial cleansing or external purity, but an inward desire to glorify God and fellowship with him. 1 Timothy 1:5 and Acts 15:8-9. God's work, by God's work on purifying our hearts in this progression. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Those seeking to restore people to harmony with God and each other. This will fit in the love your enemies category. You see in the New Testament. Ephesians 2:14-17 talks about Jesus being our peacemaker. And verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's that present tense again. We know that Jesus is our righteousness, and if we reflect him, we will be persecuted, whether physically or mentally, I believe. Sometimes I wonder if I'm getting closer to the kingdom because the attacks get stronger. Okay? Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. The important thing there is for my name's sake. I want to do a neat Bible study. Go through the Bible and look at where God said, I do this for my name's sake. For my name's sake. Not because of you, but for my name's sake. First and foremost. Think about the persecuted saints, both in the Old and New Testament. We have Hebrews 11, talking about the heralds. Look at the backside of Hebrews 11. Heralds of faith. Okay, where it says they were sawn in two and lived in caves. They were also included with all the big guys up front. And what's going on in the world today, if anybody goes to the Voice of the Martyrs, you can see how many people are being martyred from the faith in all countries. So what are we to do? Look at verse 12. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Rejoice and be glad. So when you count your blessings, you ever go here? You keep saying that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Bless is a quote. I don't know who quoted this or if I made it up. Anyway, it's about David's warning in the Psalms. Do not rest on the blessings of God, but on the God who blesses. Let's pray. This is from the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Of the God of peace, who brought again from the dead, Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, to Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed. Could you repeat that, please? No, just kidding.
All right, so
I don't know if we have contact with
contact with who?
Do you have us, Mark? Okay, there we go. All right, very good.
Here we go.
That was a
all right, take it away, Dennis.
Thank you, Mr. Albania. Well, I was just going to say thank you, Ed. I'm sorry that the audio was a little challenging on our side, but we appreciate you very much. Let's hear from Mr. Arnold. Can I put you on the spot? Tell us how you've been.
I've been actually I'm a fortunate guy, you know. I'm in a place that they lock you in, they don't let you out. We haven't had any problems either. We haven't had the COVID thing at all. So I guess we're reaping the benefits of their strictness here. Anyway, they've let us go out now. We can go out for lunch. So we have our own little group that we have had for years, and we've been able to get together one meeting, so I hope we're going to get together quite a bit in the next few weeks. Anyway, life is good, and the Lord is good to me. I have no reason to make any negative comments at all. And I will tell you that every time I do feel negative, which when you're in a place like this, it's nice, and people are beautiful. The people that work here are great. It's just not easy to be unhappy. I just have to tell you that the Lord has been mighty good to me, and I'm very grateful for what he's provided for me here.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you, that's talk about a praise, huh? Well, it's a treat to have you on the call this morning. Well, it's worked out actually pretty well. So how's everybody else doing this morning? I'm going to have a hard time filling up 25 minutes here, gentlemen.
Yep.
Well, you know, looking at all your faces, you're just beautiful. How's that? That's not the same thing to say. Beautiful, but good for me. I just love all you guys. And the Lord loves you, and that's more important than anything.
Hallelujah.
So...
Hallelujah.
Go with Jesus anyway and every way you can. And if you start feeling negative, which is somewhat easier in a place like this, if you bring the Lord into your mind, it helps a lot. It helps a lot.
Hallelujah. That's inspiring.
Ned, how is the situation in Spain?
With COVID? Are you thinking, or how are you thinking?
Yes.
It's getting better. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Holy Week, the actual week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, is a very big holiday in Spain, and a lot of people travel. And they're trying to restrict people traveling, because if people travel, we'll have what's called the fourth wave of COVID. The third wave was the result of a lot of people traveling during the Christmas holidays. So the governments of autonomous regions are restricting travel. And we'll see if that holds it. If people still move around a lot, we'll have a fourth wave of COVID. So we'll see. Generally, it's getting better, yeah. And we're getting vaccinations. We got vaccinations going on. Probably not at the same rate as you are in the States, but it's happening. So,
man,